Let's turn now to Chicago and a disturbing spike in gun violence in the city. 8 people were shot and killed, and 46 were wounded over the holiday weekend. And last week, the same number of people, 8, were shot to death in just one day, making it the most homicides in a single day in Chicago in more than a decade. We're joined with more by Reverend Corey Brooks. He's pastor of the New Beginnings Church on the south side of Chicago. And Pastor Brooks is also known in the city as the rooftop pastor because he once protested gun violence by sleeping on the roof of a vacant building for weeks. Pastor Brooks, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me on the show once again.
So it's been a really tough summer in Chicago. I'm seeing that the rise in homicides is, what, 23%? And just last Wednesday alone, 8 people were shot to death. Can you give us a sense as to what's been happening there?
Well, we've been saying all along that in the city of Chicago, specifically in the inner city on the south side and west side of Chicago, predominantly African-American and Latinos, there is an extremely high level of violence that is continuing to escalate every single day. We have not yet gotten our hands on the problem the way we should. We still continue to have serious economic issues where people are not working. We have serious educational issues along with all the other social ills that we're experiencing. And because of that, we're dealing with a lot of serious problems. And it's going to take all of us in the city of Chicago to solve it.
Have you or anyone you know or anyone in your congregation been touched by the violence this summer?
Oh, without a doubt. Our church is right in the middle of a lot of violence. We're in one of the hot spots in Chicago. It's called Woodlawn Inglewood. And there are several gangs in our neighborhood. And just last week, we had several young men who were killed in the area. And there was a shooting this past weekend, a 19-year-old girl on about a half a mile from our church. And so we experience it every single day. There's not a day that goes by that we're not somehow touched by the violence in our community.
Right. So then in that case, I wonder how you're reacting to the fact that maybe more Chicagoans are paying attention to the problem of gun violence this summer because, you know, from what we're seeing, it's spreading to communities which haven't, you know, felt the pain as much as yours has. I mean, the Chicago Tribune was quoting someone from Albany Park who says that now she double Yes. locks her doors and tells her brothers to stay away from the windows. And that's not something very familiar to her in that neighborhood.
Absolutely. 3 years ago, I went up on the roof of a motel to bring attention and awareness to the violence. And I spent 94 days on that motel. And one of the things that I said is that if we don't deal with the violence and treat it, it's like a cancer. It's going to spread. And that's exactly what we're seeing happen here in the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. This cancer of violence is spreading, and it's going to continue to spread to suburban areas where we normally don't see this type of behavior. We already see it happening on our expressways here in Chicago. People are being shot on expressways. I mean, that's unheard of.
I want to talk with you more about your ideas on how to battle back the gun violence in just a second. But some of the stories that we've been seeing coming out of Chicago over the past week are really heartbreaking. I mean, I'm seeing 20-year-old Chicandra Ratliff, who was shot and killed on Sunday. She, you know, yes. Her family says she has a 2-year-old son. Her sister's quoted as saying that she lost her best friend and that she's angry that no one's telling the police, even though her sister says someone's got to know. I mean, this is a long-term problem about, you know, people not wanting to be seen as snitches because they're afraid. Is it an even deeper problem now?
It's a very deep problem because you have these retaliation by gangs and you have the keep it quiet, don't tell. You know, there's a saying in our neighborhood that snitches get stitches. And there are a lot of people who believe that and a lot of people who go by that. And so not only do we have to work on the violence, but we also have to work on getting the people in our community to understand that you cannot be afraid and that we have to take back our community and we have to talk to the police, because if we don't, it's going to continue to escalate and get worse. And next time it could be someone else's child. It could be very well their child.
How would you describe relations, community relations with police now? I mean, are they the same? Are they better? Are they worse than since, you know, Michael Brown's death last summer?
Unfortunately, you know, First of all, the police have a very difficult job. And so I'll be the first to say that the police have a difficult job. But I also will be fair to say that in our communities, there is a lot of negativity toward the police, and there is a lack of communication between the police and the community. And there is a serious, serious breakdown to the point of you could commit a crime on the south sides and west side of Chicago and never be caught for those crimes. One of the reasons is because people just don't want to talk to the police. They don't like the police. They see the police as the enemy. Matter of fact, there have even been people who have said the police are just another gang. Now, we know that's not true, but that is the perception of a lot of people, especially young people on the south side of Chicago.
So how would you change that? I mean, how are you trying to encourage people to change their view about the police?
Well, we got to get police involved in the community at a lower level. They're definitely not going to get it by just asking people to come to the police station and have a meeting. That just never works, and it never will work. They got to get out into the community. They got to get to know these young people. They've got to get involved in the community. And, you know, one of the things I wish that the city would implement, it would be nice for police who work in certain areas to live in those areas. I think that would be tremendous, and it would help solve a lot of the violence.
So, Pastor Brooks, a little earlier, you were talking about how there were a lot of factors that have led to this deadly summer in Chicago. You know, cuts to mental health services, low wages, school closures, general lack of opportunity for especially young Latino and Black men in Chicago. I mean, someone might be hearing this and thinking these are long-term challenges that the community has been facing. It's not just this summer, right, that all these things have been at play. So, I mean, what's really different now? Is there anything particularly different, or are we just seeing sort of the inevitable spike in violence from all these long-term problems?
Well, I really do believe that the lack of opportunity and options are really a great part of the violence. People don't have a means to make money. They don't have a means to get a job. There are no businesses in our area. And so when you have no businesses in an area where people cannot get hired and cannot get jobs, cannot work, that is a tremendous problem. Then you throw into that the fact that the educational system is failing our community. And you add to that the breakdown of our families, the family structure, and the single parent households. We have some serious, serious issues in inner cities across America that need to be dealt with. And and for me, I tell people, I think a lot of the policies that we've had over time, over the years, have driven us to this point. And so we got to consider changing our agenda, changing our policies, and changing our approach, and doing something completely different if we're going to get different results. Till that happens, we're going to continue to see a lot of violence and a lot of hopelessness.
So what would you tell Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel right now, if you could, about practical things that the city could do to get the neighborhoods further down the road you just described?
Well, one, I would tell him raising taxes is definitely not the answer. I think, you know, raising taxes and putting more of a burden on businesses so that they do not come to areas like this can only hurt.
But isn't there kind of a chicken and egg problem here? Because I can imagine a lot of businesses saying, you know, you can give me all the tax incentives in the world, but I don't want to move into a place where people are getting shot.
Well, I think people would think differently. If I'm a businessman and you tell me if I move into an impoverished area and you're going to give me incentives to hire people in that area, then a good businessman is going to take the risk. He's going to do it. He's going to go into that area and hopefully become a part of that area and try to change that area. And I think that's what needs to happen. We have to get the messaging out that, hey, in the inner cities of America, there is a tremendous problem. But with this problem comes a lot of opportunities. And we as Americans need to take advantage of the opportunities and do something about it. We always rise to the occasion and fix our problems. And I think that if America were more aware of the situation, that we would rise up and do something about it. And I believe when we do that, we can make life better for a lot of people.
Well, Reverend Corey Brooks is pastor of the New Beginnings Church on the south side of Chicago. Reverend Brooks, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on the show, and thank you for letting America know what's going on the south side of Chicago.